Guests, guests, and more guests. Caught up with Miles Mitchell. He's playing at the Pier Hotel on Friday and Saturday night. That's at the end of the catch-up. Also, we caught up with Chris Russell to talk about the drought situation in the eastern states and what the federal government can do about it. David Swan, Dr. David Swan, actually. He's the Vice Commodore of the Essence Bay Yacht Club. There's a special event happening on Sunday that you need to know about. And then we gave away cash. Cash! Cash! That's the first thing in the catch-up that you're going to hear now, basically. Triple M.
Across Esperance. Sean for breakfast. Feels
good. The Swingers counting the beats. This Thursday on Sean for Breakfast. Esperance is 7:47. Triple M. It is 10 minutes past 7. And we're giving away not one, but two $50 gift vouchers this morning. All you need to do is grab a Keep Espen's Beautiful sticker from Jim and Bob's or Barbecues Galore. Put that on your car, and if your number plate is read out before 7 o'clock, then you are the winner. It's happened to Candace, who joins me now. Candace, how are you going this morning?
I'm great. Yourself?
I'm very good. Now, do you have... What's your number plate number?
So it's E46. 334, and it's a Nissan Patrol.
Well, congratulations, Candace. You've just won $50 thanks to Sports Power today. So what are you going to get?
I don't know.
You don't know?
Maybe a new water bottle, actually. That'd be nice.
A new water bottle. Okay, look, I think water bottle is very important and what you need at least a couple litres a day, possibly even three. But surely you can do a little bit better than that, Candace.
Probably buy some new sports gear.
What about some new cricket gloves? Mine are pretty worn. I'm sure yours are as well after last year.
No, I don't play cricket.
Well, it's not too late to get involved. The Big Bash is just about to start. The women's has just started. Good, clean fun there, Candace.
Awesome.
Stay on the line. I'll get your details. Well done. Congratulations.
Thank you.
But we're giving away $50 to not one, but two lucky listeners. The second person just had to have a sticker on their car. Georgina's called in. Georgina, I assume you've got a sticker?
I do, yes.
Oh, congratulations. $50 is coming your way.
Thank you.
We'll make sure you get your details and it'll all be yours. What are you going to do with the $50?
Probably take the staff that I work for at Espence Medical Imaging for lunch.
Oh, very nice. That's very kind of you. And you know what? That makes me feel a little bit better about giving it to you instead of someone else. How about that?
Thank you so much.
No, you're welcome, and you have a great day.
Thanks for that.
Wow. A lot of calls in a short period of time. But hey, it's worth it. Love giving away cash here at Triple M. It's all thanks to Keep Essence Beautiful as well. Keep listening to 7 o'clock, or just before then. We'll do it all again tomorrow. Getting tongue tied. Make sure you get a sticker though.
Let's turn the feel good back on. Sean for breakfast.
Esperance is 7:47. Triple M.
Sunday is shaping up to being a cracker of a day. 28 degrees and mostly sunny conditions. It's going to be beautiful out on the water. And the Essence Bay Yacht Club are going to facilitate a day which lets you do exactly that. Dr. David Swan is the Vice Commodore of the Essence Bay Yacht Club, and he joins me now. David, how are you?
Yeah, very well, thanks, Sean. Thanks for finding the time to talk to us and promote our day. Thank you.
This sounds like it's going to be a cracker. As I said, the weather's going to be absolutely perfect. What have you got involved?
Yeah, so look, this is a part of like a national initiative, Discover Sailing. You'll see a few posters up around town. And so the Essence Bay Yacht Club is opening its doors to members of the general public who just might have an interest in sailing or want to see what it's all about, or maybe they just got no idea and they want to come and muck around on the waters and see whether it might be a fit for them. So we're welcoming them in to just come and have a sniff and see what they think of the sport of sailing.
Sounds like it'll be a really good activity for the kids. I mean, on the water, outdoors, the salt air. Surely you're encouraging families to come along?
Absolutely. Look, sailing is a very family-friendly sport, and it's a very diverse sport. So we've got from tiny little kids, little tackers, sort of 8 or 9 years of age, all the way up to people in their 80s still involved in the club. And families become sailing families, often through their children. They start bringing their children along to do the sail training, and then the kids sort of grow up, and they've had such a good time that they don't want to leave the club after their kids are sort of finished that phase, and so then they start sailing, and then their kids, you know, the next lot of kids start sailing. It's a fabulous, affordable, safe, adventurous sport. It's at all levels, so we'd welcome people along.
And the sailing community down here is pretty talented. Like, there's a wealth of knowledge. I mean, it was only last year that we had a group of sailors go over to Sydney and do that Sydney to Hobart yacht race. So there's obviously a lot of very good sailors down here, David.
There is, and the Esperance Bay Yacht Club has a reputation nationally and internationally, actually, for being, an exceptional regional club. It's highly affordable, and I think sometimes people think, oh, no, I can't sail, I can't afford it. But, you know, they can come and jump on a boat as a crew, and, you know, it's just their memberships and a hat and some sunscreen, and that's all you need to spend, and you can enjoy the water just as well like that.
So you don't need a polo or some boat shoes like all the sailors seem to be wearing or anything like that, David?
No, look, on the day, you know, if you bring a hat and sunscreen and jacket, you know, job's right, and we'll provide life vests and things like that. You know, sailing, I started as an adult, learned to sail here just because I wanted something to get into the town and create a social network a long time ago. And from there, I learned to sail. Some mentors took me under my wing. And since then, I've, you know, sailed in 8 or 9 world championships all around the world. And we're about to do a Sydney Hobart. So, you know, you can take it as high or as low as you want, or you can just be a simple Saturday afternoon sailor.
Absolutely. And I just want to we'll get into the logistics now. So what kind of boats are on offer, just so we know? It's not just, obviously not just solo sailing, because I think there'll be people like me that will be out of water with that sort of stuff.
Yeah, no, look, so we've got a range of boats from the kids' dinghies, then there's some catamarans there. We'll have a Flying 15 or 2, which is a class of boat that I sail, and then a big cruiser. So you'll be jumping in a boat with either 1 or 2 or more people who know what they're doing, and they'll show you what it's all about and what sailing's all about.
Because this Discover Sailing Day is 10 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. Sunday morning, and as I said, it's going to be beautiful weather, so get down there. And if I was you, or if I was me, I'd stick around for the afternoon, because I promise you this, the Esperance Bay Yacht Club has the best view of the Recherche Archipelago of any view in the town, so make sure you get around that. A Vice Commodore of the Esperance Bay Yacht Club, David Swan, will be there being a helping hand as well as going for a sail himself, I'm sure. Thanks for joining me this morning, David.
Thank you very much, Sean. Really appreciate your helping us get the word out.
Across Esperance, Sean for breakfast.
Stevens was in town only recently. That is his band Noiseworks and No Lies on Sean for Breakfast. Esperance is 747 MMM. And one of the major news stories kicking around at the moment is the drought, which has been around the eastern states for years now. 4 or 5 years some farmers are suffering. And there's been some backlash to the federal government saying that Scott Morrison is not doing enough. To talk to me about it, I have our podcast host from AgriMinders, Chris Russell, on the line. Chris, what do you think of the whole situation? What's your take on it all?
My take is that it's a terrible and a very emotive situation, and everything that people are saying, absolutely, it is correct. We do have to save the breeding herd. If we lose the breeding herd, it'll take years to build it back. But let's just understand what the solutions might be with this. You know, we nationalise the herd, and actually the government owns it, that the government buy it from the people. What we're effectively doing now is that we're actually living off the problems that have been caused over the last 5 to 10 years ago, when governments failed then to do the things that they should have done, put in more water conservation, put in more water diversion, set themselves up for the next drought. But we have been beholden to these green parties, and then we've ended up just frittering away money, frittering away time, and now we're hit with one of the worst droughts we've had since Federation. We're always going to get emotive interviews. We're going to get emotive responses. people are going to say, do something, motivate the army, buy the breeding stock. Just not realistic, in my view, Sean. You've got to be realistic about this. And what we've got to do is make sure that we set ourselves up now, learn this lesson, set ourselves up for the next drought.
So what is the Prime Minister, Scott Morrison? What is he doing now, practically actually doing? And what would you like to see him do further?
So I think what he's doing at the moment is putting money in straight into the hands of people, not only the farmers, but also the people in the towns, so they can at least buy food on the table and survive. And then he's investing money in setting up these dams. The problem we're going to have, though, today, compared with doing it 15 years ago, is that all these, you know, environmental impact statements and all the other sort of bureaucratic stuff that will have to be gone through to do it, is going to take so much longer. And it's interesting that our Premier in New South Wales, Gladys Berejiklian, is actually looking at passing legislation to circumvent all of the red tape and green tape that we would normally have to go through to put some of this in so we can get it done more quickly. But look, in the meantime, there are going to be casualties. I mean, I had a colleague and someone who I was on his board on the phone on the weekend, and his wife in tears because they're going to dam the river that goes through the town with a second dam. And within 5 days of doing that, all their high security water for their animal operation will be dried up. And if they dry up for more than about 4 months, then they're basically going to be bankrupt. There's nothing they can do about it. They can talk to ministers, but what are the ministers going to say? We've got to have that water for the town because the townspeople won't have any water to drink. And so they're between the devil and the deep blue sea. It's just a terrible drought, and we're suffering from inaction and political correctness over the last 5 to 10 years, Sean, in my view.
Yeah, and do you know what? It's very surprising that there's going to be less red tape and less green tape, because I think you could approach any local government, any state government, the federal government across Australia, and you wouldn't see them removing the tape, Chris, which is probably a good thing that common sense is prevailing. But that's getting a bit too political for me. Look, it's a really interesting conversation, and I think it just comes down to more rain. That'll help everyone. But speaking to Chris Russell, he's the podcast host of AgriMinders. Season 3, only moments away. We'll talk to him next week and catch up with how the release goes with that podcast. Chris, thanks for joining me this morning.
Yeah, no worries, Sean.
Across Esperance, Sean for breakfast.
The Miles Mitchell Trio will be playing at the Pier Hotel on Friday and Saturday night. Car Park Social will be there as well. The frontman of the Miles Mitchell Trio is Miles Mitchell. He joins me now. How are you, mate?
Hi, I'm really well, thanks, Sean. I'm excited to come to Esperance for some more fun times this weekend.
Now, we do want to get into the music and where it's and how it's all going, but as we're speaking, you've just spent the week up in the Pilbara checking out the great expanses of red dirt. How was it all?
Look, it's been great. I love working up that way. I was working with the Innawonga people. My other line of work outside of music is archaeology.
Yeah.
So that's the work I've been doing all week up there. And then basically it'd be settling up the trailer tomorrow with the band and heading over and playing music.
Yeah, look, we're really excited to have you. And I can tell you one thing for sure. Archaeology rocks. Yeah, I thought you paused for a bit there. I didn't know if the laugh was coming. It was a very cheap gag. All right, let's talk about the music. So you're actually quite prolific now. I mean, if anyone wants to check you out, Miles Mitchell, search that name, iTunes, Spotify, all those usual places. How is it all going with the music?
Yeah, it's going great. I mean, I'm blessed to be able to travel around singing my own songs and having a lot of fun doing it. The musician before, but it wasn't until I was probably about 30 that I started writing songs, and now there's no stopping me. I just love it. So, I got a new album that came out earlier this year, and so we've been touring around with that, mostly around Western Australia. And, yeah, I'm super excited to come and share some of those tunes in Esperance. Haven't been there since last summer. So,
You're due a visit, mate, and obviously we can't wait to get a taste of the album on Friday and Saturday night at the Pier Hotel. It is a free event, so I highly recommend you get there. So obviously touring that around this year, and you've been in the Pilbara for your archaeology anyway, how much of the setting, does the landscape, how much do you incorporate that in your writing? Does it inspire you?
Yeah, it does. My songs are all, they're all kind of stories. I tell stories and sing stories, and all good stories have a setting. As you'll see, and people who have been to my shows before, I kind of introduce the songs and tell the stories, and they've always got a setting, so it absolutely does.
Yeah, just I think everyone can relate to that. There's always times in your life where you're sitting back and you're watching what's happening around you, and a song's either playing in the background in your head or on the radio, and it just matches it so perfectly. Recently, when has there been a setting which has just taken your breath away, and you've said, "I've got to write this in song"?
Yeah, absolutely. Actually, funnily enough, I was just driving. I was on the Great Northern Highway. This was a few months ago, and it wasn't necessarily that breathtaking, but it was just. It just seems so iconic, just that open road and the red dirt and the dashboard in front of me, and the stereo wasn't working in the car at that time, so I was just sort of humming along. And yeah, and I've kind of, it's kind of a half-baked pie, actually. Thanks for reminding me. I'm going to have to go back and finish that song, because I sort of pulled over and I sung that little voice memo to myself, and I thought, yep, I'll come back to that and put some guitar to it and finish it off. So I'll have to crack on to that, Sean.
Well, not straight away, because I've still got a few more questions to ask you. And the million-dollar question, of course, is, so you do take inspiration from different locations. How many of your songs, including the latest album, how much of it has been inspired by Esperance?
Well, I'll tell you what.
Here we go.
I reckon I might be the only non-local musician to talk about Conding Up and the Belladonna track in one of my songs.
There you go.
So I'm putting it out there. I'm putting that claim out there. And please, anyone can correct me if I'm wrong, come down to the show on Saturday night and say, you know what, mate, you were wrong. Such and such, who toured here last year, had a song about Conding Up, but I dare say I'm the only one.
The challenge has been put out to you, folks. Go up and you can bite the ear off Miles Mitchell if it comes to be, if he is proven wrong. He and his band will be at the Pier Hotel Friday, Saturday night with Car Park Social. So it's going to be an absolutely cracking gig. Mate, write that song on the Great Northern Highway. Get to it now, and we'll see you this weekend.
Yeah, it sounds great, and we're super excited for Car Park Social set as well. They're a great band, and we love connecting with local musicians everywhere we go.
Perfect. Perfect. Thanks, Miles.
Thanks, Sean.
For breakfast catch-up on Triple M.
Bye-bye. Have a good time.
Listen to Short for Breakfast wherever you are. Download the Triple M app now.